Austin, and I have the privilege of serving on this great staff here. And something that we've learned over time is that whenever we do a kids' message, people often say, oh, I really understood the kids' message, or maybe they don't say it in these words, but it was better than the actual sermon that day. So today, since there's so many kids, we're going to just do a really big kids' message, and we hope that the grown-ups will understand. All right? We'll just go with that and see if they get it. So I have a question to you. This isn't one to answer yet. It's just one to think in your head, okay? Have you ever felt like you were left out? So you can actually raise your hand if you've ever felt like you were left out of something, or if you ever went somewhere and you felt like you did not belong. Right? There's all kinds of reasons that people get left out sometimes. Sometimes somebody will get left out because they're new. They came to someplace new and people already had their friends and so they don't bother to talk to them. Sometimes people get left out because they speak a different language or they communicate in a different way and people think, well, I don't know how to do that, and so they don't try to get to know them. Sometimes people get left out because they wear something different or they act a little different and nobody knows what to do. And then they get left out or they feel like they don't belong. What does that feel like? This is where someone could have an answer. It feels bad. What do you think? How does that feel? It feels uncomfortable. What else does it feel like? Yeah. Sad. You feel sad when you feel like you're left out. Anybody else? It hurts, right? It hurts your feelings and it makes you feel bad, and nobody wants that to be the case. So today we're thinking about how Jesus was the greatest includer of all time. He didn't want anybody to ever feel left out. So when Jesus came to earth, he started gathering people and making them feel included. So, come here, sister. So he found a woman who didn't have any friends, and he said, you know what? You belong with me. And then he found, could you come here for a minute? He found a guy, and this isn't anything about you, but he found a guy that everybody didn't like very much because they were dishonest. And I know that's not you. You're just a placeholder. And he said to him, you belong with me. And then he found another person who he found somebody else who had a disease, and people didn't necessarily want to catch a disease. And then he found Alonzo, will you come? All right. He just kept finding people. He made a friend who was a fisherman, and he smelled like fish all the time. And so he just kept making all of these friends, and he said to the friends, I love you, and you belong to me. And then when he went back up to heaven, he said to his friends, now you need to tell everybody that. So when you go back to your spot right now, I want you to tell somebody you belong. All right? So you can go sit back in your spot. In fact, how about if everybody here and everybody here turn to one person and just say, you belong. So that was Jesus' instructions to his followers to make sure that everybody knows that they belong with Jesus and that they're loved. And they started to do that. And one of the people that did that was a man named Peter. And Peter was really good at it. Peter told thousands of people that Jesus loved them and that they belonged with him. And people believed it and they started to follow Jesus too. But Peter, without really knowing it, Peter told lots of people about Jesus, but he didn't tell everybody about Jesus. Peter mostly kept talking to the people that he knew, or talking to his family members or his distant relatives. Sometimes Peter would go and he made sure he told the people that believed the same things about God that he did, or that worshiped in the same way that he did. He found people that ate the same foods and laughed at the same jokes. That was who Peter was telling about Jesus. But one day, Peter had this moment, and it was about lunchtime, and he was really hungry, and for some reason, he was waiting for somebody to make his lunch. I'm not sure why the man couldn't make his own lunch, but he was waiting for lunch, so he went up on the roof of a house. It was flat, on a flat roof, and he sat down to pray. And I don't know if this happens to anyone else, but you're hungry, you're sitting out on a rooftop in the sun, and while he was praying, he fell asleep. Anybody ever fall asleep when they're praying? You have this deep moment with God and say a good prayer, and the next thing you know, it's morning time. I don't know how it happens, but Peter fell asleep, and he had this dream. And in the dream, there was this huge blanket, like a picnic blanket, that came down in front of him. And in the picnic blanket were all kinds of things that people might eat. So there was this blanket with different kinds of things that might eat. This is a little paraphrase of the text for those of you that are particular. But in the dream, he heard, okay, shh, shh, hey, that's my lunch. He heard God say to him, Peter, have something to eat. And Peter looked at the things on the blanket and he said, some of these things are things we don't eat. Some of these things are against the rules. Some of these things are not kosher. I'm not going to eat them. And God said to Peter, do not call anything the impure that I have made clean. What he meant was, Peter, everything that I make is good. The food that I make, the people that I make, everything that God makes is good. And when Peter woke up, suddenly at his door were some men, and these men came and said, hey, our friend Cornelius wants you to come to his house. He wants to know about Jesus. And suddenly Peter knew that the dream wasn't just about food, it was about people. Peter realized that he had only been telling certain people about Jesus, and God was saying, oh no, we got to open it up and tell everybody. So Peter went to Cornelius' house, and he said to Cornelius, Jesus loves you, and you belong with him. And Cornelius believed it, and his life was changed. And then Peter came back to his friends to tell him, and his friends said this, Peter, you shouldn't be telling those people about Jesus. That's what they said. You shouldn't tell Cornelius or people like Cornelius about Jesus. And here's what Peter said back. He said, God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. If you're a reader, let's all read it together. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. Peter started telling his friends, you know what? Jesus is the greatest includer of all times. He wants everyone to come and have a relationship with him. I have one more story. This story starts with someone. By the way, we're doing this whole series this summer in our church called Remarkable Things, and we're reading in the Bible book called Acts. And so today, we're covering four chapters of Acts in 15 seconds. So between 9 and 12, if you're a reader, you might go back to that. But last week we heard about somebody, and his name was Saul. And Coach Jeff, could you come here for a second? So we have been reading about different things, the remarkable things that Jesus did when people started to come to know him. If you could stand here, who's this? Coach Jeff. And if you had Jeff as a coach this week, you know that he is friendly and welcoming and including, and he wanted to make sure all of the 9 through 12, is that how they are? Had a great time at soccer camp. But right now, Jeff, turn around and face the back. This is no longer Coach Jeff. This is now, turn around, this is Saul. And let me tell you about Saul. Saul was big and powerful and angry and mean. And that mustache that a few days ago was just kind of cheesy and friendly became an angry kind of mustache. And here's the thing about Saul. Saul had heard about Jesus, and he wanted nothing to do with Jesus. And what he wanted more than anything was to stop Jesus' friends from telling other people about Jesus. So Saul went around, and he was trying to stop them. He was trying to put the people in jail so they wouldn't tell about Jesus. One day, Saul was walking from one city called Jerusalem to another city, and all of a sudden, this bright light flashed on him, and he was suddenly meeting Jesus for the first time, and Saul became blind. Saul was blind, and he didn't know what to do next, so his friends took him, and they led him around, and they had to lead him and lead him and lead him. Does he trust his friends? They lead him to Damascus. He's not as trusting as I need him to be. Right here, Saul. And Saul sat down. You're safe. Sat down, and he began to pray. And he prayed fervently, and he prayed without ceasing, and he prayed until I told him what to do next. All right? So there was Saul sitting there in a house in Damascus praying and wondering what was going to happen next. But meanwhile, across town, there was a different man, and he was, Jim, are you brave today? Park it. Okay. A few minutes ago, this was Jim, one of an awesome soccer camper, but today, Jim is Ananias. And Ananias was sitting at home, minding his own business one day. Ananias was a follower of Jesus. He had learned that Jesus loved him and he belonged with Jesus. He was home reading the paper, and, yep, right here. Hold it like that. And Ananias heard a voice.
Ananias.
He heard a voice. Oh, good job. Let's let everyone see that expression, because that was really good. Excellent. And Ananias knew right away who it was, and so he said, yes, Lord. He said it out loud. I just whispered it.
Oh, yes, Lord.
He said, yes, Lord, and then Jesus gave him some instructions.
Go to Straight Street. Find the house that belongs to Judas and ask for a man named Saul. He is praying and has just had a dream that a man named Ananias, that's you, will help him regain his sight.
Okay, stay there, Ananias. So here's what God says to Ananias. Jesus says to Ananias, you're going to go to Saul. Do you remember about Saul? Saul came to this guy's town to arrest him for being a follower of Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to help him be healed, and I want you to tell him about Jesus. How do you think Ananias would feel about that? What would you feel like? Go tell this big bully who might arrest you and throw you in jail about Jesus. Anybody? How do you feel about it? Scared? Does he want to go? No, he didn't want to go. He said, I don't know Jesus. You know what he's like. He might arrest me. This is what he's been doing. But in the end, Ananias said, okay, Lord. And he went to Saul, and he put his hands on his eyes, and he took his blindfold off, and Saul could see. All right? And they went back to their seats. And Ananias was able to be there to tell Saul that Jesus is the greatest includer of all times. He said, Jesus is the one that says, you belong with me. And Jesus and wanted him to know that it's not just some people. It's not just people that have it all together. It's not just people that come from the right place. But Jesus wanted to include everybody so that they would know that he loves them and they belong with him, because Jesus is the greatest includer of all time. And the best picture I can think of making everybody feel included is to make a circle. So hardest thing we're going to do today, stand up. We're going to make a big circle. Grab somebody's hand so we can make a circle, all right? Some people can stand on the floor, all right? Some people can be standing on the floor. Look at Maisie over there. She's making a good circle. All right. Here you go. Let's put you right here. Can you grab her hand? Yep, help Ellie be in the circle. All right. Some things are trickier. Frederick, can you find a hand to hold over there? I know. So Jesus, this is what Jesus says. He says everybody's included, but you know what? Right now our circle looks like some people are not being included, doesn't it? Look at all the folks that are out there. They want to be included too. So what Jesus said is, I'm going to make a circle, and I'm going to make a circle as big as it takes to encompass the whole wide world, and I'm going to leave the circle open. Jesus says, I'm going to be the door to the circle. So Jesus comes along here and says, we're just going to make sure that the circle is open. Nope, don't close it up. We're going to make sure that the circle is open so that anybody, anywhere, at any time, and any place knows that Jesus loves them and that they are welcome and that they belong with Jesus. That's what it means that Jesus is the greatest includer of all times. And that's what we wanted you to know. That's what we want you to know. That is the word that goes out, and it's the best news that there is, because nobody else does this. It's just Jesus who keeps making more and more and more room for everybody. So I'm going to have you guys go back to your seats. When you sit down, I want you to find somebody next to you or near you, and you say to them, you belong. Okay? Go find your spots. You belong. See if you can figure out where you started today. And then we're going to pray together. And there's going to be one point in the prayer where everybody gets to say the words, I belong. All right? So just practice that. I belong. Would you join me in prayer? We thank you, Jesus, that you are the greatest of all time. You love the most. You rescue us. You find us. You long for us. And you include everybody. Lord Jesus, you tell us that you love us and that we belong to you, so much so that we all know that we can say out loud, I belong. And we can say it one more time, I belong. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you for saying and showing us that you love us. Make us people who believe that and come and join the circle with you and be people who will tell anybody and everybody that they belong with you too. We pray and love to you, Jesus. Amen.